G-minus 82, Gravesen Hotel, Ankara, Turkey. On any other day, Billy Kendrick would have called Dan McCarthy immediately to tell him of the incredible alien transcript he had just discovered on an aerial image of Dortlu Tepe. But given Dan and Tara's current presence in Buenos Aires, possibly in the company of William Godfrey or one of countless other dignitaries who simply couldn't be looped in on this just yet, today was not a day to bother him. He took his failure to reach Emma as a sign to spend a little while longer pursuing any further messages the architects may have left on Earth, so opted similarly not to call Clark or Timo, and instead to stay right where he was, in front of his computer. It didn't take long for Billy to run through all of the other candidate sites for his recent digs, and disappointingly, he found nothing else of note. This was very much an all-or-nothing endeavor, since the presence of a transcript in any of the images, allied with the presence of a triangular uplift patch on his neck, would have resulted in an instantaneous deluge of information flowing into Billy's mind. With each dig site thoroughly scanned both up close and from afar, Billy had stumbled upon a whole lot of nothing. Despite how unsettling the knowledge provided by the first transcript had been, the absence of more was anything but a relief. Instead, it was a source of marked frustration. After all, it was always preferable to know the full details of an ominous threat than merely to know the threat was out there. If I was an alien, Billy thought to himself, trying to consider at which other locations on Earth the architects may have left what essentially amounted to a signpost. On New Kerguelen, transcripts had been left in the architects' outpost so that any future visitors of their kind would have access to an offline record of why the structure existed and how to operate its equipment. That made a degree of sense, and Billy spent several minutes trying to find a similarly logical angle for why a message had been left above Dortlu Tepe. He understood the gist of the message itself, which simply warned the viewer that problems could arise if humans ever saw the carvings and artifacts buried deep below the Turkish ground. It also implored the viewer to take action should humans ever appear close to rediscovering the remarkable site's bounty of archaeological wonders, but this instruction raised far more questions than answers in Billy's mind. For one, did it mean that the architects had always been watching Earth? Or was this transcript intended for the eyes of the messengers they had treated like guard dogs rather than for members of their own kind? Enough time had now passed since Billy's initial viewing of the transcript for his mind to be relatively quiet, and this enabled him to reach the logical conclusion that the transcript must have been laid or placed in position after the architects came into contact with the messengers. After all, by the messengers' own accounts, that had been many, many thousands of years ago, and surely before the treasures of Dortlu Tepe had been so totally consumed by the earth. The transcript spoke of the potential risks of those treasures being rediscovered, which wasn't something that would be a consideration were they not underground at the time it was placed. Billy nodded firmly, pleased with himself for at least making some kind of progress in trying to understand what he had just found. He looked at the time on his computer screen and saw that Chairman Godfrey would be addressing the ICA imminently, but that was far from the forefront of his mind. If I was an alien, he thought again, this time navigating away from the fruitless images of other dig sites and opening a word processor. There, Billy began to brainstorm a list of locations where an intelligent race of visitors might leave messages to either their future descendants or the unwitting others they had duped into doing their bidding. If the seemingly all-knowing architects were worried about humans finding things, Billy reckoned that undiscovered archaeological sites were the most likely locations for further transcripts. This was little help, though, since it went without saying that those sites wouldn't be undiscovered if he knew where they were. Nowhere immediately came to Billy's mind as a spot where truly history-changing discoveries had recently been made, aside perhaps from the Great Pyramids and related Egyptian sites that had pulled back the curtain on an incredible cultural past. Billy navigated to a series of aerial images of the pyramids, where he ended up spending almost 20 minutes zooming in and out in the hope of experiencing the remarkable sensations that came with laying eyes on a transcript. None came, And the exercise left Billy somewhat demoralized about his chances of filling in the blanks in the message at Dortlu Tepe. The more he thought about it all, the more questions he had. Just how close the viewer had to be to the transcript was one that kept rattling through his brain, and with this in mind, he navigated to a different aerial image of the Dortlu Tepe site pre-excavation, one in which the site itself filled only a small area of the image. To his mild surprise, the transcript wasn't engaged when he looked at the area in this manner. Recalling that the transcript hadn't kicked in when he was looking at close-up images of the pillars either, and had only overwhelmed his senses when the full site was visible on his screen, Billy started to wonder if there was a very particular sweet spot. He zoomed in on this second broader image, and when the entire site was present on the screen with only a small border around it, he felt a jolt that was mildly familiar, but which he would never get used to. As soon as he was sure it was the same transcript as last time, Billy closed his eyes to stop the deluge. It was tiring, mentally and physically, and in the hope of finding more transcripts, he didn't want to needlessly exhaust himself by lingering on the same one for any longer than necessary. One question had now been answered, at least. There was a sweet spot, in the sense that looking at a still digital image which contained a transcript wouldn't trigger the moment of informational overload if the whole transcript wasn't visible, and also if it didn't appear at a certain size. Billy thought back to the outpost, where a brief glance at a small transcript from a good distance away had been enough to trip the wire, so to speak, and tried to make sense of this in the context of his experiences today. He ultimately recognized that all kinds of limitations were currently at play, any or all of which could have been responsible for the fussiness of the transcript. The chief culprit, he suspected, was the very fact that his computer presented a digital facsimile of the transcript, whereas on New Kerguelen, he had gazed directly at the real thing. One obvious factor in this regard was screen resolution. For while Billy's was an expensive laptop with an excellent and pin-sharp display, it was still no match for the human eye. And on that point, he mused, perhaps the human eye was no match for the architect eye, or even the messenger eye. Maybe if Leisha or Sacco had been present, or indeed any other messengers in possession of the transcript reading uplift power, they would have been able to see the transcript in the broader view. This was something that could be tested relatively easily in due course, and Billy felt sure that the explanation would be a mixture of his two thoughts, that transcripts worked better in real life than on computer screens, and that beings who were permanently endowed with the ability to decipher them could do so more effectively and reliably than could a human with a patch that granted the ability only temporarily. They have to be able to make sense of the transcripts from afar, Billy thought. Otherwise, the whole idea of putting them on the ground to be seen from the sky doesn't make sense. The more he thought about this, the shorter he became. The content of the transcript's message, introducing and explaining the significance and potential risks of Dortlu Tepe as it did, made it clear that it was intended for viewing by visitors who had no previous knowledge of the area. In turn, this made Billy consider that it absolutely had to be discernible from a great height, zoomed out in computer parlance, or else no one would ever see it. After all, if the alien visitors passing by overhead didn't know anything of the seemingly inconspicuous area recently christened Dortlu Tepe, they wouldn't have been looking at it. Or maybe the aliens can see where there are transcripts if they show up like little dots on a radar from miles up in the sky, Billy mused, even if they can't actually read them until they get closer. Lacking the ability to see any such radar-like dots from broad satellite images, Billy felt now as though he was looking for a needle in a haystack. He tried to take the great positive from his unexpected discovery, that he had made the discovery at all. As ominous as it was, he always felt it was better to know things than not, and given his good relationship with Leisha, he felt sure that a broader sweep of Earth's surface for however many more transcripts might be present wouldn't be far away. Billy closed his computer and turned the volume up on his hotel room's TV. He wouldn't divulge any of this to the media later in the day, and had now decided that he probably wouldn't engage the media at all, not until discussing it all with Dan and the others, at least. and an hour of fruitless searching felt like more than enough. The afternoon had started as something to get through before the world spun enough for Argentina to catch up, and Billy Kendrick was glad that the time had finally come for Godfrey's speech. He and the rest of the world knew absolutely nothing of John Cole's reckless plan to crash the party, but not even Cole had any idea of what was going to beat him to the punch.